1190 AM, NBC News, and the best in specialty programming.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or Clear Channel Communications.
You asked for golf, you got golf. It's time for the Golfer's Home with Stephen Greben. For the next 2 hours, you'll get the best in local, national, and international golf. Interviews from all the tours, the latest inside news, plus a weekly local course review, help on improving your golf game, and our weekly trivia contest, and so much more. So step up to the tee and get ready to keep it in the short grass. It's the Golfer's Home. Here's your host, Stephen Greben.
Good morning, and more importantly, happy St. Patrick's Day. It's 8:07, and you have the Golfer's Home with Stephen Greben. Stephen is on assignment this weekend, and I am filling in for him as the host. I am Tim Cusick, Director of Golf Instruction at the Four Seasons Resort and Club, Dallas. And joining me in studio is the founder and CEO of Amped Golf Fitness, Damon Goddard. Damon, good morning.
Good morning. How are you feeling today,
Tim? I'm great. Thanks for joining.
Yeah, I appreciate you asking me. This is going to be exciting to be here today. So
I know, it's 7 or 8 years ago now. One of our members was working out and doing some different types of workouts and came to me and said, hey, you need to go meet this guy, Damon Goddard. He's really done a lot with my fitness, but also with my golf because of it. And so I was intrigued, and I called you up, and you were at a different facility at the time, and came over, and you took me through a workout, and needless to say, it was different.
Yeah, well, I hope so. But around that time, there was an emergence of everyone understanding that fitness and golf were starting to go together. And so I made that decision. I said, you know what, I'm going to focus on golf and try to literally change the shape of the game. And there is a different attack that we take from the fitness side.
So back in 2006, 2007 is the time frame I'm talking about. I went over and I was used to, working out with weights, getting on the bike, riding, which, you know, obviously is still part of any type of fitness. But went over there and we never lifted one free weight. We never used one machine. And for an hour or so, we got physio balls out and we got stretchy bands and we used my body's weight and that was the workout.
Yeah, that was the workout for the day. And that was probably your introductory. It's a progressive approach. Obviously, hopefully we get to the point where, yeah, we'll start incorporating weights and work on speed and different aspects like that. But, I take a stair-step approach. And first thing we start with is that assessment. And from there, then we could go, let's just master your body weight first. And so that was the key thing is, finding out, what you're capable of. And then, let's keep it simple.
So golfers have, by and large, worked out, for 40, 50 years. Gary Player probably being Frank Stranahan way back when, and Gary Player, a strong proponent and still is up to almost 80 years old, working out. But as we move forward, and everyone knows Tiger Woods, fitness regimen kind of paved the way probably for this current push, more of a lifestyle change, really, but almost now on the tour, a necessity if you're going to be competitive, if you're going to have a chance at, prolonging your career, fitness is a major, major must. But for you, what got you really involved in doing something that was different from the traditional or mainstream fitness aspect?
Well, I actually, I saw a need. That was an emergence from Tigers, looking like a linebacker and whatnot. And so I saw a need to incorporate, a fitness regimen that was golf specific for the simple fact I didn't want bad information to get out there. A lot of times you'll see individuals in my industry, just kind of throw out, just regular workouts. They'll train a golfer like they would a football player, like they would a hockey player. Golfers have a different set of needs. Now, rotation is rotation. And to tell you the truth, I can take the same rotation as a quarterback or a baseball player or whatnot and still see the same sequence in a golfer. But first and foremost, I saw the need. And really, the demographics that you can start with from juniors all the way to, you know, 86, 96 years old, there's a huge demographic that you can truly develop a golfer like we have, you know, in the past.
I can remember back when I was coaching at – I was the assistant coach at SMU for the men's team back in 1993 to 1997 or so, and myself and our head coach, Hank Haney, felt the need to have our guys work out. We had a very good friend in Las Vegas named Keith Clevin, who was known for a long time in helping Tiger with his fitness, as well as a number of other type of world-class athletes. And Hank told me when we first took the team over, he said, I want the guys to work out. You know, it's hard to work it around their class and their play and everything, so we're going to have to do it early in the morning, you know, 6 o'clock, and we'll try and do it 3 days a week. And, you know, we've been assigned the assistant strength coach for the football team.
Right.
And he says, I want you to go to the workouts, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning and, just make sure the guys don't get hurt was his message to me. And so, you know, I went and we did, you know, we did some weights, but, we did, you know, we did agility, and this is back in the early 90s. So there really wasn't this quote unquote golf fitness that was, you know, that was out there. But it slowly has evolved, and I think trainers and physiotherapists have really, really, you know, seen the need and stepped up and jumped in and said, we can make this very, very specific for the muscles that are needed in the golf swing, not only to help you with your swing, but to help prolong injury or to prolong not being injured. And I guess so my point to you now is, from 2006, 2007, how did you get to where you are today?
Oh, my gosh.
That's a long question
right there.
That's
a long question. Well, you know, the nice thing is with my background, you know, if you can't break down biomechanics and understand, you know, a certain skill set that's needed for any particular sport, then you probably shouldn't be in the business. But the change that I've seen from 06, 07, all the way up to this point has been light years in terms of information being out there. The communication between instructor to, you know, strength coach is so streamlined
Vital. Right
now. But the nice thing is now is we've been able to identify what I call the if this, then that scenario. And we'll talk about this probably a little bit later. But if this is going on in the swing, then this is probably what's going on with the body. And so there's with golf, it's pretty peculiar because when you find out there's a swing fault, there's a direct correlation to a body fault, muscle tightness or muscle weakness or whatnot. So that information has expanded tenfold, 20-fold. And so that's been the nice thing throughout that 06 to now. The information that we have now on the golf swing and on the physical aspect, there's such a correlation. Now the communication of even just the general, you know, recreational golfer, understanding to surround himself with a team of people, the instructor, the short game, the strength coach, the mental guy, is paramount now.
You know, as a golf instructor, in that time frame that you're talking about, I've learned quite a bit in what happens with someone's body or what's going on with somebody's body, as you said, can be a direct correlation to some of their, you know, some of the mistakes, some of the areas that they just can't get to in their golf swing because of those inabilities, whether it's strength, whether it's flexibility, whether it's an injury that maybe the player or the teacher doesn't even really know about. You know, obviously the most well-known aspect out there of golf fitness is TPI, Titleist Performance Institute, and they've done a fantastic job, Greg Rose and Dave Phillips, in training golf instructors, physiotherapists, physical therapists, players on the importance of this, but also how there is a correlation. I know you've gone through that training, and certainly then you spread out and branch out to what you feel is best suited for you and how you're going to be able to train your athletes. We're going to get into talking more about specifically what you do, the students that you have, and we've got some that are going to be on the leaderboard that we're going to go on and take a look at next segment down in Tampa and throughout the tours worldwide. I'm going to be very interested to hear some of the nuggets that you have that you're working on with your tour players, how you take a look at you're watching them on TV. And do you see things that are popping out that you've been working with these guys with? I know as an instructor, I look the same way, but I'm looking more from a technical aspect. You're looking more from a physio aspect, so to speak, most likely. But we'll talk more about that as we go on in the show. Next up, we're going to go through the tours. We've got a lot of action going on in golf. We've got some golf down in Tampa with the PGA Tour. The ladies are in Phoenix. The men are in California, and there was a tournament way, way, way across the world in Delhi, India. So stick around. You're with the Golfers Home with Stephen Gribben on AM 1190.
Look how sad your smartphone is because it doesn't have iHeartRadio. It can't listen to 1,500 live radio stations. It can't make its own custom music stations. It can't even use the Perfect Four feature. No wonder it's sad. I may weep myself. But you can cheer that phone up. Download the iHeartRadio app now. It's free at iHeartRadio.com. iHeartRadio is now available on Roku.
Ah, the sound of small business, getting busier. Can you tell which one is using AT&T? Truth is, they all are. Because businesses of all kinds can find AT&T customizable plans that fit their exact needs. Whether it's broadband, mobility, or nationwide voice, at AT&T, we can help your business get humming.
I need more receipt paper, please.
Call 1-855-877-4288 today and ask about special offers available for new small business packages. AT&T, rethink possible.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
Julian with Safe Light Auto Glass.
So you think all auto glass companies are the same? Only America's largest gives you the reliability of this Safe Light advantage. It's what makes us different. With over 5,000 mobile glass shops in all 50 states, so we're always nearby. And the only national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered wherever you are. Make the safe choice.
Just ask your insurance company for SafeLight or call 800-800-2727 or go to safelight.com.
Would you like to know how to become three times less likely to experience a home burglary? Mike Melton, president of Security Alarm Now, is here to tell us about that.
Statistics show that you're three times less likely to have your home broken into when monitored by a home security system. Right now, we're offering listeners a complete ADT security system free of charge when they call
1-888-520-9138.
You only pay $99 for the installation, and the monitoring is only about $1 a day.
That's really economical, especially when you're talking about the safety of your family. Are there any other offers for our listeners?
Yes, the next 20 people who call
1-888-520-9138
will receive a free upgraded two-way voice keypad, which in the event of an emergency allows you to talk to the ADT dispatcher through your keypad. It will also include a $100 Visa gift card.
Call 1-888-520-9138. That's 1-888-520-9138.
I wanted to be in the military since I was a kid.
I served in the United States Air Force.
I served a total of 16 years.
I was deployed 13 times.
On my second deployment, four bombs hit my vehicle.
And at 19 years old, that's the first time I ever saw somebody die.
Coming back, I was raging.
I started having pretty horrible nightmares.
I would wake up in the middle of the night, sweats.
I started drinking a lot.
I felt worthless.
I guess I never recognized it in myself.
Eventually, one day, I just walked into the VA hospital and said I'd like to see somebody.
Don't suffer alone. You got to find that link with somebody that'll make you let it go.
It all starts with going to the VA. There's a whole community of veterans that just want to help you out.
It's for the guys who couldn't come back, so you owe it to them to live well. Because they're not here with their families.
Visit MakeTheConnection.net.
Do you own a home or have plans to in the future? Don't miss Real Estate Radio Network's Tuttle Talk with Andy Tuttle, Saturdays at 11 a.m. on 1190 a.m. You'll get all the information you need to know about what's happening in the local real estate market and how to take advantage of that knowledge. Whether you're buying, selling, refinancing, or investing, listen to Tuttle Talk with Andy Tuttle, Saturdays at 11 a.m. right here on 1190 a.m.
Welcome back to the Golfer's Home with Stephen Gribben. I'm Tim Cusick. Joining me in studio is Damon Goddard, the founder and CEO of Amped Golf Fitness. We're going to take a run through the leaderboards. Got lots of golf going on. This is the time of the year when everything gets rocking. The LPGA Tour is in Phoenix, Arizona, and they are playing the R.R. Donnelly LPGA Founders Cup. This is a big, big lead-in to the Dynashore tournament, first major on tour for the LPGA Tour in Palm Springs in a few weeks. And leading the charge after three rounds is Ai Miyazato. She is sitting at 19 under par, which is really, really good golfing. And she's got now a four-shot lead over Stacey Lewis. But when Stacey Lewis finished, she had just shot, so we thought, 66 to get to 17 under. And then all of a sudden on the telecast comes up that there might be a rules infraction. And so as we've come to see over the last 7 or 8 years, something happened, someone calls in, and now the fun begins. And so to be more specific, what happened was on the 16th hole, her ball had gone into a fairway bunker, and she and her caddy, Travis, were assessing the shot. And one of the parts of the conversation was that she didn't know how much sand was in that bunker. And so her caddy, who is allowed to go anywhere that she's allowed to go, stepped into the bunker. But there are different things that he can do versus what the player can do. And so he stepped in. Inadvertently twisted his feet a little bit, so basically is testing the surface, and they could hear a crunching, which means that there wasn't much sand in the bunker. There was some gravel underneath there. That certainly tells you how much you can go into the sand, what type of shot you can play. And this was picked up not by Stacy or Travis, but was picked up by a viewer on TV, called into the Golf Channel, got to the PGA tournament office. And so when Stacy finished, made about a 10-footer on 18 to finish with 66, before she signed her scorecard, they went to the truck, took a look at this a couple times, had a very lengthy conversation. From what I understand, Stacy did not want any confrontation, was fully accepting in the two-shot penalty. So she went from 66 to 68 and now has a four-shot deficit that she must make up and is trying to get to be the number one player in the world. And if she does win this week, she does become the number one player in the world. But an unfortunate situation, Damon.
Yeah, that is. And, you know, in the heat of the round, you know, I'm sure the caddy, you know, wasn't real cognizant of what was going on. But, you know, that is unfortunate for Stacy. I'm sure she'll be able to pick up a few strokes today, though, and put herself at least in contention. Let's hope so.
She is such a good player. Ai Miyazato has won a number of times on tour. I think she's shooting for her 10th victory. But when she came out on tour, was a very, very short hitter, giving up 40, 50 yards off the tee. And won doing that, but felt like that wasn't going to, you know, help her long term. So changed her swing. She had a very long, syrupy-looking golf swing and quickened the pace up. Got a little bit more strength, and for a while didn't do very well. And it's nice to see her on top of the leaderboard because she is a very, very good player. As we all know, Stacey Lewis has just rocketed on to the LPGA Tour, won the Player of the Year honors last year, first time since, I believe, 1992 or 93 that an American has won the Player of the Year honors. But sitting in fourth place, tied for fourth place, is Jarena Pillar. And Jarena is a UTEP golfer, played at the University of Texas, El Paso, is married to a local tour player, Martin Piller. And Damon, you know Jarena, don't you?
Yeah. We've worked in the past, and talk about an athlete. I have a saying, it's easier to make an athlete a golfer than a golfer an athlete. And she played multiple sports growing up, and I'm sure she could excel literally at any sport. But she is strong and is really making a name for herself on the LPGA right now.
Okay, so she's sitting six shots back, but in a very good place to hopefully make some make some money and have a nice finish to help her get going for 2013. So that's the LPGA Tour. Next, we've got across the pond, a couple ponds actually, in Delhi, India. This tournament is now finished. Thomas Aiken has won the Avantha Masters, and that was a three-shot victory at 23 under par. He plays mostly on the South African tour. On the European tour. We don't get a chance to see him over here too often, but a good victory for him on the Champions Tour in Newport Beach, California, on Newport Beach Country Club. They've played that tournament for a number of years. It's an old golf course, a fun golf course to play, very narrow, small greens. And one of the local golf pros that is in the Dallas area, David Frost, is playing very, very well at that event. And it's almost a two-horse race. David's gotten off to he's 13 under par. Right behind him is Fred Couples at 12 under par. And then you've got to go four more shots down with Jim Gallagher Jr. at third place. And then another shot back, Jay Haas and Scott Hoke, and tied for fourth. So some very good names on that leaderboard. But it'll be interesting to see how David Frost does. He's really done very, very well on the Champions Tour.
No, he has. And, taking a look here as well, we got, Mr. Weibring tied for fourth as well. So he's doing really well this year as well.
How's he with his – he's always had wrist problems.
Yeah, had a little bit of wrist issues, had a little shoulder issues, and those have cleaned up really nice in the past year or so. And, Dr. Troy, who works on him from a soft tissue side, has done an excellent job getting him back on track, and looks like he's doing well this year.
Now, do you still see his son, Matt?
Every now and then, and Matt's busy, getting to play right now. Matt has a good team around him, and let's hope he has a good year this year as well.
All right, so now let's move to the PGA Tour, and as they're working their way through Florida, you've got the Tampa Bay Championship presented by Everbank at Innisbrook, a very, very difficult golf course and one that the players really enjoy. They like playing tough golf courses, maybe not right out of the box the first couple tournaments of the year, but they like playing difficult golf courses, and this is a difficult golf course. So at the top of the leaderboard after three rounds, tied for first at 6 under, we've got three players. We've got George Getzey, who usually plays the European Tour. He's a South African and plays the South African Tour. And then Kevin Streelman, who actually was quite sick last weekend, had got some food poisoning, lost some weight, and he's rebounded nicely. Shot 65 yesterday to get to 6 under par. And then a local name that we haven't seen in a while, who's now in his 40s, I believe, Justin Leonard.
Yeah, little UT guy. Good to see him on top of the leaderboard again.
I'll tell you what, anytime Justin Leonard is at top of the leaderboard, you know that he is putting the lights out of the golf ball.
That's his wheelhouse.
That is his wheelhouse. He can hit it, and he has won a bunch of tournaments, but when he's playing well, he's got the flat stick going, and he can putt like nobody's business. I remember one time he won a tournament back probably 10 years ago or so, and I think it was at Harbortown, and he had like 93 putts or something like that for the tournament. Jeez. Which is just – I mean, that's 23 putts around, which is just ridiculous.
No, that's unheard of.
Okay, so as we work our way down the leaderboard, another Dallas player – tied for fourth is Greg Chalmers, and he's sitting one shot back. And then we start working through the Amped Golf Fitness team that Damon Goddard trains, and it also tied for fourth. You got Tag Ridings.
Yeah, we're looking good. Tag Ridings, he's funny cat number one. I love the interviews, and I like the fact that he's getting little FaceTimes, shows a little humor. But to match his humor, he's matching it with his play. And he's just come out of the gates this week.
One that you got to watch is the defending champion sitting at tied for eighth, and he's only two shots back, and that's Luke Donald. And Luke Donald is he's like the quiet assassin. He kind of sneaks his way up the leaderboard, doesn't do anything, just fantastically well outside of just being the best bunker player on tour. But he has got an all-around game, great for this golf course, honing his game for the next couple weeks for Bay Hill and also for the Masters coming up. But he's sitting at two shots back. And then also a tied for eighth is a guy that isn't even 20 yet.
No.
Turned pro after he left the University of Texas this past semester, and is now playing his fourth PGA Tour event in a row so far, and that's Jordan Spieth.
Yeah, I've had the pleasure of working with this. I guess I have to call him a young man now instead of
a kid.
I've had the pleasure of working with him since he's, I want to say, 14, 15, and it's been tremendous to see his growth. And, talking about a guy that, once again, on a Sunday, you saw it last week, put himself in contention. He's only two shots off the lead, and he's also that sneaky assassin on a Sunday.
I'll tell you what, and we're going to talk more about Jordan in the next segment with John Drago, the executive director of the HP Byron Nelson Championship. But Jordan is now playing in his fourth event. I think the first one on the PGA Tour. He's also played two events on the Web.com Tour and had very good finishes there.
Two top tens.
And so he started out playing in San Diego and I believe missed the cut there by a shot or two.
He did.
And then went to Pebble Beach and teamed up with Tony Romo and finished second in the Pro-Am division. But made some cash there, made about $65,000.
Yeah, started off right this year, about $65,000 for that year.
And then continued on and played in – last week played in Puerto Rico?
We played in Puerto Rico in the PGA.
And finished tied for second?
Tied for second.
And so now he's about just a little over $100,000 from making enough money that would have put him inside the top 150 last year, which allows him unlimited sponsors exemptions. Right now he's only allowed seven, as well as anybody else that's not an exempt player on the PGA Tour. And he's a couple hundred thousand or a little bit more from getting inside the top 125 from 2012, which would give him a card.
Right.
For the remainder of the year and 2014. And so, he's positioned himself to be able to do that. I know he's garnered some other sponsors exemptions that we'll talk about in the next segment. But it's great to see him do what he's doing from a skinny little 16-year-old that was one of the best juniors in the country and now a very fit 19-year-old with the help of Damon Goddard, with the work he's done with him. He is making a name for himself on the PGA Tour. So let's get down a little bit farther to some of the other local players before we wrap it up on the Tampa Bay tournament. So sitting at tied for 35th is another local player and a Damon Goddard player, Ryan Palmer.
Yeah. Yeah, Palmer's having a good year as well starting off. Palmer, he's just strong as an ox. And real unassuming, but he's athletic. And it's good to see him, doing so well this year. It's good.
And he's had some injuries too, hasn't he?
All these
nagging
guys have little nagging issues, But Palmer, he tends to stay strong throughout the entire year. Everybody's going to have a hiccup throughout the year. But he's got a great team surrounding him as well. And he's set for a real solid year this year.
So a couple other guys that that Damon does some work with, tied at 50th is Martin Flores. Tied at 64th is Colt Knost.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Colt's already teed off for the morning.
And it'd be nice to see those guys shoot up the leaderboard a little bit, have a good round today, get some money in their bank account, and help them with the 2013 season. A few other players from the Dallas area. We mentioned Greg Chalmers. We've got tied for 50th John Rollins, who does some practice out at the Four Seasons. And also Fort Worth product, J.J. Henry, who had a very nice year in 2012, was tied for 57. So the Dallas boys are doing well down in Tampa. And we are going to wrap up the leaderboard. And next segment, we're going to be joined by the executive director of the HP Byron Nelson Championship, John Drago, who is very busy right now and wears a couple hats, and we're going to talk to him about both of those hats when we talk to him next. You have The Golfer's Home with Stephen Gribben on AM 1190.
Hi, I'm Jim LeCamp.
And I'm Pat Riddell, co-host of Money Sense at the Opening Bell.
Are you fed up with the endless, relentless arguments about bull market, bear market, trading range market, deflation, hyperinflation, and all the other chatter that leaves you on the sidelines, earning nothing, nada, zip?
Well, we have good news for you. There are opportunities in a highly uncertain environment like this if you know where to look. Let us help you. We'll show you how non-traditional investments can help you uncover uncommon returns.
Give us a call, 800-841-5388,
or log on to money-sense.com.
Hello, this is Dane Miner, General Manager of Freeman Toyota. I want to take just a moment and put things in perspective for you. Do you make $10 an hour? Did you realize at that rate that Freeman Toyota could put you behind the wheel of a brand new Corolla for just 30 minutes worth of work a day? Seriously, for a half hour work, you could be driving the fuel-efficient Corolla at $5 a day. Or Freeman Toyota could help you drive away in a brand new Camry for just $6 a day. Listen, I know how hard you work. And I know that getting to work in a reliable, fuel-efficient car is critical for you. So we're making it more affordable than ever to drive a brand new Freeman Toyota. And when you take into account that you get 2 years worth of free maintenance with every new Toyota we offer, to see how you can drive a Corolla for $5 a day or a Camry for $6 a day, log on to FreemanToyota.com right now and click on specials. Or call us at 1-800-NEW-CARS or come by and see us at 183 and 820 on the affordable side of the Metroplex.
Safelite Repair, Safelite Replace.
Julian with Safelite Auto Glass.
So you think all auto glass companies are the same? Only America's largest gives you the reliability of this Safelite advantage. It's what makes us different. With over 5,000 mobile glass shops in all 50 states, so we're always nearby. And the only national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered wherever you are. Make the safe choice.
Just ask your insurance company for Safelite or call 800-800-2727 or go to safelite.com.
Ah, the sound of small business getting busier. Can you tell which one is using AT&T? Truth is, they all are. Because businesses of all kinds can find AT&T customizable plans that fit their exact needs. Whether it's broadband, mobility, or nationwide voice, at AT&T, we can help your business get humming.
I need more receipt paper, please.
Call 1-855-877-4288 today and ask about special offers available for new small business packages. AT&T, rethink possible.
With all of the choices and customizable settings on the new generation of adjustable clubs, you need an experienced partner to help dial them in just for you. For over 45 years, Golfsmith has been dedicated to helping golfers find the right gear and their best game, all for the guaranteed lowest prices. Don't let your old equipment hold you back. Come in today and get 50% more for your trade-in toward the latest adjustable gear. Only at Golfsmith.
Hi, this is Bernadette, owner of Adrift Float Spa. Did you know that stress is one of the major contributors of high healthcare costs? As Arianna Huffington reported in a recent CNBC interview, stress is prevalent in corporate America and affects negatively our productivity as a nation. Corporate America needs to be paying attention to stress reduction. Floating or flotation therapy is learning and experiencing what it feels like to truly relax. What are the benefits of floating? Decreased stress, nervousness, and anxiety. Decreased muscular aches and pains. Improved concentration, memory, and mental focus. Increased energy and performance. Enhanced quality of sleep. And a general overall sense of well-being. De-stress your employees. Call Adrift about our corporate packages at 214-363-5628. That's 214-363-5628. Or visit us at AdriftFloatSpa.com.
Welcome back to The Golfer's Home with Stephen Gribben. I'm Tim Cusick. hosting the show today as Stephen is on assignment. Joining me in studio is golf fitness expert Damon Goddard. Happy St. Patrick's Day to everyone out there in Dallas and around the United States that are listening on iHeartRadio. You can follow Damon on Twitter at Damon Goddard, and you can follow me at Tim Cusick Golf. Check us out on Twitter. I'm talking a lot about golf instruction. Damon talking about golf fitness. Great way to pick up some really good nuggets to help you with your game. Yeah, joining us now on the phone is the executive director of the HP Byron Nelson Championship, John Drago. Morning, John.
Good morning, Tim. Hey, you can follow me at HPBNC.
There you go.
Golf tournaments to that mix.
There you go. Great plug right there. How you doing?
Doing great. How about you?
I'm doing good. So I'm at work on Friday, and our PR director at the Four Seasons, Vail Tolbert, as she always does, when something breaking happens with the HP Byron Nelson Championship, sends an all-points email out that Jordan Spieth, Dallas's Jordan Spieth, has accepted an exemption for the tournament coming up in May.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're glad to have him again. Obviously, we've been following him for years, as we all know, and are really enjoying watching his progress in his first year as a professional. So we're certainly glad to have him.
So this will be the third time, first as a professional, but third time that he will have played the tournament?
That's correct. He played when he was 16 in 2010, played again in 2011, and then last year, actually, our tournament conflicted with the NCAA regional.
Correct.
When he was in Texas, so he did not play that year.
Correct. And both times, as an amateur, he made the cut. Correct.
He did. Finished top 25 both times. I think he was 60. I may have finished 16th the first time, and somewhere around 25 or 30 the second time.
Well, I can remember the first time when he was 16 and he was an amateur on Saturday. He put the tournament on his back for a while and within a shot or two of the lead, if I'm not mistaken, and just had the crowds going crazy out there.
Oh, absolutely, it was electric out there that day when he made the charge. Everyone from Jesuit came out. Everyone locally was talking about it. It was really cool.
So we're now second week or so into March. I know you've got the day down to the exact day that the tournament does start. Where do we sit at?
Yeah, we're like 57 days right now.
57 days and counting. And so where are you in the process of preparing for the HP Byron Nelson Championship?
You know, we're at that point now where a lot of the planning is over and it's time to start implementing everything. You know, we are still selling, which is important. But we've got, and you'll see a bigger presence from us here shortly, March 22nd. At the end of this week, we're going to actually move out on site. We'll put our operations office out there, and then actual construction begins the following week, March 25th. So the members of Four Seasons will kind of get that feel that, hey,
something's around the corner. How can the listeners get their tickets for this year's tournament?
Yeah, the easiest way to do it is to just get on hpbnc.org and pick them up there. Or they're certainly welcome to call the office at 214-943-9700.
And tickets still are available, correct?
Tickets are still available, that's correct.
Awesome, awesome. So usually the setup is about 6 weeks out, if I remember correctly, and the teardown's about 3 weeks or so. I've got a couple things I want to visit with you. And one is going to be not about the tournament, but it's going to be about the hat that you wear some of the time outside of being the executive director of the Nelson. Talk about how the players go about trying to earn sponsors exemptions that are not exempt on the PGA Tour, and what you go through with that.
Yeah, basically what they do is they'll map out what they where they want to play or where they think they have an opportunity to play, and we'll get close to 50 letters for people who are trying to get exemption to our tournament. We've got 8 total exemptions that we can give. A little bit different in the categories that we can give them in. This year we're limited to 2 what they call unrestricted exemptions, which is someone like Jordan right now anyway, who has no status at all on any tour. Now, if he does win that $100,000 that you were talking about, he would become a special temporary member of the tour, and he would actually move to a restricted exemption. But the unrestricted exemption can literally go to anybody. You know, when Jordan was 16, he accepted that kind of an exemption. And then the other six have to be members of the PGA Tour who otherwise aren't available. So either they finished further down the money list last year, so they don't have access to our tournament, or whichever tournament. That's how we choose. So basically, we take that list of 50. We have a committee that goes through them. We watch how they're playing, and throughout the lead up, we'll kind of decide on which ones we want to give. You know, back in the day, we used to take our list out to Mr. Nelson's house, and he would weigh in. And unfortunately, we can't do that anymore. But we do keep the things that he used to tell us in mind as we're making those choices.
That's interesting. I was going to ask you if Peggy Nelson, Byron's wife, sits in on that committee.
You know, she doesn't. She sits in on a couple of committees for us. She does a lot of great work for us, but she doesn't sit in on the sponsor exemption committee anymore.
Okay. We'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the Salesmanship Club and the awesome job that they do running this tournament every year, the Red Pants, as they're known, the amount of money that they raise for charity is unsurpassed on the PGA Tour. Talk a little bit about your relationship with the Salesmanship Club, John.
Yeah, actually, Salesmanship Club is who I work for, so I'm a full-time staff member working for them. And the way that we like to talk about it is, you know, we're in the charity business. You know, we provide services for at-risk kids and families in our community. We helped over 7,000 kids and families last year. And the Byron Nelson Golf Tournament is our fundraiser for that charity, just like any charity would have a fundraiser. Ours just happens to be a major sporting event that we started in 1968. The charity itself has been around since 1920, if that gives you any idea.
Wow.
But you're right. Since 1968, we've raised almost $130 million. We'll surpass that this year. So that enables us to do the work that we want to with the Salesmanship Club. And so the support that we get from the community, from Irving, from the Four Seasons, is just, you know, we know that we couldn't do it without it.
Now, you have a couple awards that are given out annually during the tournament week. One is the Byron Nelson Award. Give the listeners a little bit of a rundown on what that award's about.
Well, we give out two awards, or have given out two awards, for honor Byron. When Byron passed, we wanted to find ways to honor his legacy, of everything that he gave to us, the inspiration that he still provides for us today. So for the past 5 years, we've given out what they call the Byron Nelson Prize, which is an award given to somebody in the golf community who displays basically the character and integrity of Byron Nelson. Last year that was given to Nancy Lopez. This year I believe we're going to put that in hiatus for at least a year and not award that this year as we study different ways that we're going to honor Byron. But the other one that we give that Byron we think would have felt very special about is the Byron Nelson International Junior Golf Award.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which is where we bring in, actually Jordan Spieth won this award
right.
1 year.
Right.
Emiliano Grillo, who finished 13th in Europe this week, won it this year, or 1 year. So it's where we have a committee meeting this week to determine the winners. But we honor anywhere from 2 to 5, depending on kind of what the field looks like that year. Juniors that are in the United States or international, either one. And bring them in, give them the award. They have a great week. They're a nice dinner. Peggy talks to them. Somebody from the tournament field talks to them. And then they get a real behind-the-scenes experience of what a PGA Tour event is like. So really a special way to honor Byron.
What are some of the characteristics for those junior players that you and the committee look at?
Well, you know, first and foremost, they have to have achieved on the golf course. They have to be good players. You know, we're looking for, the way we like to describe it, we're looking for excellent players who are also display the character and integrity of Byron Nelson. So they have to have the whole package. They can't just be great kids, great academics, and marginal players, if you will. And they can't be great players who, quite frankly, you know, don't display the character and integrity and academic success that we're looking for. So they have to have the complete package.
So the last couple of years, we've had some at the time, unknown winners. In 2011, I believe, we had Keegan Bradley, who had never won before. And in 2012, we had Jason Duffner, who some of the golf world might have heard of, but maybe not much. And both those guys go on to make the Ryder Cup team in 2012. And now both are, you know, viewed as some of the top talent in the United States on the PGA Tour. I mean, that's a great feather in the cap for the Nelson. Give the listeners a little bit of an idea what those guys are like.
Yeah, they're great guys. I would add to your list, you know, in 2010 we had Jason Day.
Yeah, that's right.
At age 23. And I think it's something that we take a lot of pride in. You know, we gave a sponsor exemption to Justin Leonard when he was an amateur. We gave one to Tiger Woods when he was an amateur. So we take a lot of pride in identifying those players and in the fact that they play well at our tournament. Jason and Keegan are great guys. I think Keegan may have been the first person to commit to our tournament this year.
Really?
Also has never finished outside the top 10, so why wouldn't he? Jason Duffner's coming in town to visit with us next week and do a little media event for us. So anything that we've asked, and Jason Day's the same way. He came in and played around the golf with HP and some media the year that he was champion. And, you know, you remember Duffner, the month he had last year, you know, he won it in New Orleans. He played the Players' Championship. He happened to get married in between there, and then he won our tournament. I mean, what kind of May is that?
It's fantastic.
And you know, it's just, we see them when we're on the road, and they're always good to us, and they love the golf course, and they love coming to be with us, and they do anything that we ask for them. Great champions to have.
We have a tournament, as you know, the Monday after the Nelson concludes for our membership, and it's called the Post Nelson, and we will take flags for the viewers. We'll take flags and position them where the champion had hit their shots all throughout the final round. And so last year with Jason Duffner winning, going around the golf course, number one. And so the membership plays essentially the same golf course from the same tees, from the same pins as the tournament does the final day. And so in going around the golf course, seeing how the course was set up, seeing where the pin positions were, which, you know, some for me, you look at the green and you think, is that really on the green or is that not on the green? And where he hit the ball that final round was absolutely incredible.
Absolutely.
He's one of the finest ball strikers on the tour, probably one of the quietest guys on the tour. But obviously we're very excited to have him back and excited to have Keegan back and Jordan Spieth and the others that will join us in a couple of months. Okay, so I want to turn the page for a second. The viewers have heard, or the listeners have heard this when we've had you on the radio in the past, that you are a world-class rules official as well as a tournament director and do some work for the PGA of America every year, was a rules official at the Masters last year. And so something happened yesterday in Phoenix, and I'm sure you saw this at the R.R. Donnelly event for the LPGA Tour, where Stacey Lewis and her caddy had an infraction or said infraction on the 16th hole regarding the bunker, and we described it earlier. But what I want you to talk through as an executive director, but also as a rules official, is we've seen this or heard about this for about 10 years now, maybe more, of how viewers will see something happen, call in either to the network or call in to the tournament, and then all of a sudden the player gets taken into the TV truck and, you know, there's a discussion, they play it back. How's that all that play out?
Yeah, there is, first and foremost, the job of the rules committee is to get the rules right and protect the field, as we like to say, and make sure that everything is being done. And so if there is a rules infraction called, then it's our job to make sure that we look into it. And basically, the way it would happen, I always wonder to myself, how do they find that phone number?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, somehow they find their way in, and it gets to them. And then, if there's video available, we'll go look at it and review what happened and review that with the player, and then ultimately make the decision.
Did you see that yesterday?
If that call were to come into my office, I would, if Fire Nelson, I would inform the Rules Committee that was on site, and then they would take it from there.
Okay. Did you see it yesterday?
I actually didn't see it. I was just reading it before. I was just reading about it on Twitter, as a matter of fact. I think Shackelford's tweet about it right before you called. I got the call here.
So in some of the bunkers out in Phoenix, and this is you see this sometimes in the desert, and you know if the wind blows a little bit, as you know, you can have some of the sand, you know, blow out of the bunker. And some of the bunkers were a little crusty, not a ton of sand in the bunker. And for the listeners, Stacy's caddy walked in. They were concerned about how much sand was underneath the golf ball in a fairway bunker. Her caddy, Travis, stepped in. He's not allowed to position his feet like a player would. He's allowed to walk in there, is my understanding, but he cannot test the surface. No one can test the surface, but
right.
He cannot twist his feet, and I guess he did twist his feet, and that was where the rules infraction came from.
Yeah, from what I was reading, and I'm sorry that I didn't see it, really what it boiled down to was the conversation they were having about what he was doing with his feet. From my understanding, Stacy actually asked him what the condition of the bunker was, which led to basically his roughing of the feet. You know, obviously you're allowed to walk in there. A player's allowed to firmly take his or her stance by, you know, digging in a little bit and so forth. So you can kind of get a feel. It's a little bit of a gray line there. But from my understanding, the real kicker was that she had asked him what his thoughts on the bunker sand was right before
Correct.
He had done whatever he had done with his foot. So that really kind of made it. Therefore, he was testing.
With the Nelson, have you ever had an instance where what we're talking about has come to light?
With that specific rule, none. And I don't remember ever getting a call in to me. Now, if they had found the if a viewer had found the rules office number and called them directly, I'm not sure. You know, normally I've got so much other things going on with what happens in the rules, unless I just hear about it. It's pretty rare, but I've never had it happen there. I've had it happen, obviously, when I've worked PGA Championships or so forth, but never had it happen in the Fire Nelson that I'm aware of.
He's John Drago. John, always a friend of the show. We really appreciate your time. Looking forward to seeing you out at the Four Seasons in the next week or so. Thanks for joining us.
Sounds great. You'll get sick of me soon. I'll be out there.
John Drago, he is one of the best, if not the best, executive directors of tournaments on the PGA Tour. Love seeing him out there. Love picking his brain out at the Four Seasons and during the Byron Nelson. He's got his work cut out for him. It's a great tournament. We hope everyone has a chance to get out there and check out the Byron Nelson Championship in May. Damon, you come out, don't you?
Oh yeah, yeah. That week definitely keeps him good. Definitely keeps him busy. You know, we've got a lot of players out there. You know, especially now with Jordan and the Palmers, and you know, a lot of the local guys will go out there, and so it definitely keeps me long hours that week. And warming up the guys, you know, taking them through, watching their rounds, and then we go through cool downs, workouts throughout the entire week. And it's good because we get the local followings. We like to say, you know, even with our juniors and our recreational golfers, that it's a team. And so the team starts to follow their teammates.
It is a good week. One of the friends of the show, Dr. Lauren Letts, is a chiropractor in Fort Worth, and she's TPI certified. She has a special that she is running, an initial consultation, including x-rays, for only $40. If you mention The Golfer's Home, she's in Fort Worth. You can reach her at 817-348-8488 or pathtowellnesschiropractic.com. Give her a shout if you're in the area. Have her check you out. Next up, we're going to talk more golf fitness, how it pertains to your game, how it could pertain to your game, how it pertains to the PGA Tour players when we visit with Damon Goddard as we continue on The Golfer's Home with Stephen Gribben, AM 1190.
KFXR Dallas, with all the top news and business stories of the day. It's all on 1190 AM.
NBC News Radio, I'm Peter Alexander. At the White House, part of I-95 on Florida's East Coast has been shut down due to fog and smoke from brush fires. Stuart Moore with NBC affiliate WESH TV in Orlando says there have been several accidents on the highway as a result.
Southbound, as cars are continue to pile up there as the emergency vehicles are trying to get the situation under control. Northbound seems to be moving, but very slowly.
In Steubenville, Ohio, a verdict is expected in the non-jury trial of two high school football players. They were accused of raping a 16-year-old girl. NBC's Ron Allen is there.
She said she went to a party with some friends and drank so much that all she remembers is waking up the following morning naked and in a strange house with no idea what happened. Prosecutors insist she'd been sexually assaulted and abused.
Two people were killed on Pitt Road at a California raceway north of Sacramento. A car ran off the track during warm-up laps. Killed were a 14-year-old boy and a 68-year-old man. This is NBC News Radio. Can states force people to prove they're U.S. citizens before allowing them to register to vote? The Supreme Court is scheduled to consider that tomorrow. At issue is the legality of Arizona's law that requires the proof to use a federal registration form that doesn't. Pope Francis made his first Angelus prayer overlooking St. Peter's Square today. NBC's Keir Simmons was there.
He talked about a book he was reading, and then he looked up and he said to the people, you know, I'm not making a commercial for this book, just so you know. And people laughed. Another example of how he's very simply talking directly, even to thousands of people.
The Holy Father also made his first tweet thanking people and asking for their continued prayers. And Justin Timberlake is back on the charts, number one on iTunes with his first album since 2006. It's called The 2020 Experience and officially releases on Tuesday. The album is about embracing his status as a married man after his wedding to Jessica Biel last October. I'm Peter Alexander, NBC News Radio.
Staples has always made getting office supplies easy, and now we're making it easy to get everything for your break room, too, like Folgers coffee for $6.99.
I'm going on a Staples run. Anyone need anything?
French roast.
Breakfast blend? Decaf?
I said Staples run, not coffee run.
Now Staples sells coffee supplies, so it's kind of the same thing.
Oh, yeah, I don't do coffee runs. Intern!
For a limited time, get Folgers classic roast coffee for $6.99 at Staples. That was easy.
Offer ends 3/23/13. Limit one per customer while supplies last.
Because Mike switched to Geico and saved hundreds of dollars on car insurance, his money clip wants to shake his hand, firmly, for a solid 3 seconds. But it can't. Fact is, most money clips don't have hands to shake with. Switch to Geico, and every time you notice the extra cash, you'll know your money clip wants to give you a firm handshake. But remember, it can't. It doesn't have hands. It is, however, happy that you're saving money.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
The early months of 2013 have brought growing signs of a strengthening economy, and there's been speculation that it may be time for the Fed to begin backing away from its economic stimulus efforts. But that's unlikely when Fed policymakers meet this week, according to fixed income strategist Anthony Valeri at LPL Financial.
I think Ben and his equally dovish leaders there at the FOMC likely going to keep stimulus in place, or at least signal that they are.
Ben, of course, is Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke, and Valeri thinks the Fed stimulus programs aren't going anywhere for a while.
I think it'll be sometime, maybe over the second half of 2013, where the Fed begins to indicate they may slow the purchases, but I think stimulus is very much as is in place for the remainder of the year.
Housing shares the spotlight with the Fed this week. We'll see several reports, including housing starts, home resales, and home builder sentiment. All are expected to show a continuation of the improving trend in housing. I'm Larry Kofsky from MarketWatch.com.
In a moment, cancer changed our lives forever.
We were told nothing could be done to enjoy these final moments together.
But in that moment, when all seemed lost,
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital gave us hope.
Because at this moment, St. Jude Children's Research Hospital is saving lives with pioneering research and care. We're changing the way the world treats childhood cancer by sharing our discoveries with doctors and scientists everywhere.
And we'll never have to pay St. Jude for anything, ever.
At this moment, she wants to be in her own bed.
I want to be back at school with my friends.
I want to be outside playing.
Please take a moment and join St. Jude in finding cures and saving children. Visit stjude.org.
At AdvanceAutoParts.com, we believe in getting you the parts you need fast, with no shenanigans. What are shenanigans? Those annoying shipping and handling charges you get stuck with when shopping online. We think handling is for sports cars. And shipping? Well, when you spend $75 or more at AdvanceAutoParts.com, shipping is 100% free. 0% shenanigans. AdvanceAutoParts.com. Advance Auto Parts. See site for details.
Because Jan switched to Geico and saved hundreds of dollars on car insurance, her savings account wants to take her to a fireworks show. But it can't. It's a savings account. It can't read where the next fireworks show is in the local paper. Switch to Geico, and every time you see extra money, you'll know your savings account wants to take you to a fireworks show. But remember, it can't. It doesn't know how to read. It is, however, happy that you're saving money.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
1190 AM, NBC News, and the best in specialty programming.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or Clear Channel Communications.
Nine holes down and nine holes to play. It's the backside of the golfer's home. Here's your host, Stephen Gribben.
Welcome back to the golfer's home with Stephen Gribben. I'm Tim Cusick. Stephen is on assignment this weekend. In studio with me is golf fitness expert Damon Goddard. Happy to have him in here, giving us his knowledge and expertise. You can follow Damon on Twitter at Damon Goddard. You can follow me on Twitter at Tim Cusick Golf, at Tim Cusick Cusick Golf. Happy St. Patrick's Day to all the listeners. Hopefully you've got your green on. I've got my green on, Damon. You got black and gray on you. Oh, okay. We got a logo that's got one little stripe that has some green. Okay. All right. You're not going to get pinched today. Yeah. No one's going to be walking around getting you. You better make sure you show that logo, though.
No kidding.
That thing needs to get front and center.
I know.
That's it.
I'll go put my St. Paddy's Day t-shirt on today.
So we've had in Dallas, it's nice to see the grass green up. I'll tell you what, it's been a long, cold winter. I'm tired of dormant grass. I want green grass. I'm tired of wearing jackets. Now, I'll probably be kicking myself in July, as I always do when it's about 108.
Yeah.
But I am ready for some sun, which we've had this week. We got a little gray sky today, but some warm temperatures. And this week, looking not so bad, maybe a little bit of rain in Dallas. But I'll tell you what, out at the Four Seasons the last couple of days, we have had some golfers come out of the woodwork, and that's always a good sign that that spring is here and that people are ready to play golf. And hopefully where you're playing golf the last few days, you've had a chance to get out and dust the clubs off if you haven't used them for a while. But as you dust those clubs off and you get back into playing golf, there are some things that probably could help you so that the next day you aren't so stiff and sore and tight and can't go to work, hopefully not, or hopefully get up out of bed if you hit too many balls or your hands are too sore. So that's why we've got Damon Goddard in studio, and we're going to talk about a few of those things. Damon, so when we met 7 or 8 years ago, you were getting into the golf fitness realm. You were training all athletes, even the everyday man that just wanted to be more fit, but were using some non-traditional, at least at that time, ideas of how to train people, train athletes for better performance, to help them with their quality of life, to prolong the chance of not getting injured, depending on what they were doing. Now you've started your own company, Amped Golf Fitness. And that came online over at Cairo Sport, which is only about 5-6 minutes away from where we are, doing the show on Beltline in the Tollway, Dr. Troy Van Biesen's office. And you've been with Troy for a while. What was the reason to start Amped Golf?
Well, the reason for starting Amped Golf is truly to get back to the wheelhouse. For a long time, we've been specializing in working with golfers, catering our program designs for golfers. So I wanted to get back in and really hone my focus in 100% throughout the entire day, throughout the entire week, back to the golfer. Like we said back 7-8 years ago, that's what I did is really, I had a lot of athletes that I was working with, from, hockey players to basketball to soccer. Saw the emergence, guys like yourself showing some interest into the fitness realm or the conditioning realm. And I looked into it and I said, hey, there must be something into this golf thing. So I actually sat down with a lot of the instructors to see, what's going on with the golf swing and understand it a little bit more. And what I found out was it was incredibly athletic. If we take a look at the golf swing, you're reaching 90% peak muscle activity in a golf swing. And what that kind of equates to, Tim, is really if you had a heavy weight, you could only lift it around 4 times until you get pretty fatigued, right? So that's kind of, 90% peak muscle activity. Well, what's the difference between, football, basketball, soccer, all these other athletes I was working with in golf? Well, they're preparing for their sport. They're doing conditioning for their sport.
Exactly.
And so what I saw was, these golfers, I'd watch them warm up or lack of warm up. I'd watch their everyday routine. I'd watch their injury ratios as well. And, taking a look at it, I said, there is a big need to focus in on the golfers because it is an incredibly athletic movement, contrary to a lot of people's beliefs. Yes, it is a hobby for some, but for some that are making a living out of it, it's a very athletic endeavor, and you've got to be in shape.
Okay, so you're golf specific now, 24/7. You've got a couple great trainers that are working underneath you, in Andrew and Carly, and they do some work with some of my junior students. But you're not just we're going to talk about the tour player in just a bit, but you're not just tour player. You're not just college athlete. You're not just competitive junior. You are golf fitness for the guy that's going and playing today at the local, public course or at the country club or young, old, anywhere in between.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We're blessed to work with a lot of the elite players, for sure, for the tour players, the elite juniors, the elite college players. But tell you the truth, our bread and butter is for the guys that are seeking to enhance their performance out on the golf course, generally to increase their experience out on the golf course. They want to have fun, but they most importantly, they're tired of being injured. They're tired of playing with low back pain. They're tired of playing with, knee pain or whatever. Our task is to really prepare them to increase their experience out on the golf course. And if with a relationship with the golf instructor, I want to enhance their time with the golf instructor. I want our role is to make the golf instructors more the gurus. So their time spent with instructors is more productive. The time spent on the golf course is more enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can go home. And then now all of a sudden they have a reduced risk of injury and they don't hurt.
I know when my job is a lot easier as a golf instructor when the person that I'm teaching is got free motion with their, with their body. They've got range of motion. They're flexible. They have some strength. They don't need a ton of strength, but they have some strength in the muscles that are needed for the golf swing. But they're not inhibited. And I can remember a specific scenario a couple years ago with one of our members out at the Four Seasons who was just a weekend golfer, a little bit over 50 years old, who came to me and he wanted help with his swing, and he came to me, and he's got a support weight belt on around his waist, and, so that's the first red flag, and can play 9 holes, but couldn't finish 18 holes. He could only play 12, 13 holes before he was, before he was done, and he said, I need help with my golf swing. And I said, you do need help with your golf swing. But we got to get you just a little bit healthier with your body because he had, I'll use some golf terms here and then you can use some athletic terms, but he had the club, very much across the target line, which means pointed to the right of the target at the top of the backswing, but his arms weren't able to swing up over his right shoulder for a right-handed golfer. And when his arms are pinned across his chest, and his right elbow is behind him, the club's going to point across the target line every single time. And I could show him what he needed to do. And I knew exactly where we needed to go. We looked at it on the video. And after 35 minutes, I mean, he wasn't making any headway.
No.
And I knew I was showing him the right things. He knew. He could see it on the video, but we weren't getting anywhere. And finally, I said, we've got to address some needs. And I did a couple. I'm unfortunately, I'm just knowledgeable enough to be dangerous on a couple of the tests that you can do. But one of the tests that I did was an exterior rotation for his rotator cuffs in his shoulders, and his right shoulder, right rotator cuff had virtually no exterior rotation. And, you know, I said, you know, we can continue to work on your swing, but you've got to go see somebody to see if you have an injury, if you have scar tissue built up, or if you just need, you've got lack of mobility. And so we're going to hold that thought right there just for a minute, take a break. And when we come back, we're going to finish that story, get your side of the story, because you were part of that. Troy was part of that, and how that story ended, as well as what it's like to work with tour professionals. When we come back on The Golfer's Home with Stephen Gribben, AM 1190.
Look how sad your smartphone is, because it doesn't have iHeartRadio. It can't listen to 1,500 live radio stations. It can't make its own custom music stations. It can't even use the Perfect Four feature. No wonder it's sad. I may weep myself. But you can cheer that phone up. Download the iHeartRadio app now. It's free at iHeartRadio.com. iHeartRadio is now available on Roku.
I have some exciting news for sports fans out there. Or if you like to go to concerts or theater, this is for you too. I'd love to take my two sons to a football game. But geez, have you seen the prices of those tickets? But I've discovered a new site called scorebig.com. And get this, you can get tickets to NFL, baseball, NBA, always below box office price guaranteed. This scorebig.com grabs unsold tickets and sells them at huge discounts. So you can save up to 60% on VIP tickets. And there's even more exciting news for radio listeners. Go to scorebig.com right now, and you'll get an additional $15 off. That's an extra $15 off already incredibly low-priced tickets. Remember, tickets at scorebig.com are already up to 60% below box office price. And for a limited time, radio listeners get an additional $15 off. But hurry, the only way to get in on this amazing deal is to go to scorebig.com and type in the promo code 9000 at checkout. That's scorebig.com, promo code 9000.
And in today's top story, CEOs from the nation's megabanks have signed a petition against Webster's Dictionary, putting pressure on the highly respected resource to change the definition of the word free. Apparently, megabanks have grown frustrated with customers who expect to pay nothing for their free checking in ATMs. Said one megabanker on the condition of anonymity, quote, "We believe free is a subjective term, open to interpretation, which is why we have lawyers and asterisks," end quote.
At Viewpoint Bank, we want to redefine the banking experience in North Texas. So when we say you get free checking, free online banking, and free ATMs anywhere in the world with Viewpoint Absolute Checking, you have our word on it. If you're on the same page, we invite you to visit ours at viewpointbank.com. You're also welcome to give us a call at 972-578-5000 or stop by a Viewpoint Bank near you today. We're ready when you are. Member FDIC, account requirements must be met.
And in other news, a Collin County business owner grows a 3-foot-long beard waiting on a loan decision from his out-of-state bank.
Where do you want to go to lunch?
I'm having a stroke.
Did you hear what I said?
I'm having a stroke.
Why aren't you answering me?
I'm having a stroke.
What's up with your face?
I'm having a stroke.
That's not normal. Is something wrong?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having an allergic reaction?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately, because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
This is Pete the Fast Greek, host of Race Talk, the motorsports talk show, heard every Saturday live from high noon to 2 p.m. right here on 1190 AM. NASCAR, NHRA, the IndyCar Series, we talk about it all. Plus, we let you know where they're racing right here in the Metroplex. So join me, Pete the Fast Greek, for Race Talk, the motorsports talk show, live at high noon right here on 1190 AM and streaming live at iHeartRadio.com, keyword 1190 AM, Dallas-Fort Worth. And remember, keep your racing on the track, not on the street.
Welcome back to the Golfer's Home, AM 1190. Stephen Gribben out, Tim Cusick in, along with Damon Goddard, golf fitness expert, founder and CEO of Amped Golf Fitness. And we were just talking about a story. I was telling a story about one of my students, Damon, that had some issues with his right rotator cuff, wasn't getting into the right position in his golf swing, was wearing a weight belt, his back was bad. Could hit balls for a few minutes each time, could play nine holes, but not much more, and he wanted to play golf. He had time to play golf. He wanted to play golf, and he just wasn't getting anywhere. So I ran a couple tests on him, range of motion tests, found that he had virtually no exterior rotation, which means if you put your arm out into an L, stand straight up, and rotate your arm up, keeping your back straight, don't arch your back, rotating your arm up. Your arm should go to about 120 degrees or so would be awesome, but you want it at least a little past straight up and down, which would be more than 90 degrees, because when you bend from your waist, now that arm gets a little bit less than 90 degrees, and that's a key feeling for your right arm in the golf swing, or where you put the club at the top of the backswing. So we'll fast forward. I sent him over to where Damon works at Cairo Sport, and Damon, along with Dr. Troy Van Biesen and Dr. Wes and their physiotherapist, did some work on him, blah, 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 blah. We'll fast forward to the following spring. So this is about 6-7 months that he was doing some work with them and came for a lesson. We were working every 3 weeks or so along this time with the golf swing. And lo and behold, we've got a couple things that have happened. The club's in a better position at the top of the backswing. He's able to make better contact, and his weight belt's gone. The back support belt that he was doing he had on because his back was so bad. You guys did some work with him there as well. And so through stretching, through fitness training, through therapy, he was able to put himself in a position where I could be useful to him as a golf instructor. So is that's the formula that you're looking for, isn't it?
No, absolutely. You know, just like we were talking at break, you know, 9-10 years ago, the knowledge that we were working from, you know, from an instruction standpoint, you probably would have tried to keep continuing going into those positions.
Exactly.
And you would have
failed,
end up injuring, and it was just a big source of frustration for both of you guys. Now, you know, what we're finding is, you know, what we spoke of way earlier in the broadcast was the if this then that scenario. You know, the nice thing is you have a knowledge base that you're working from. I know what positions physically that this golfer needs to be in. And if he's not getting into those positions, it's going to really inhibit my time as an instructor there. And so, the whole model behind assessing,
So that happens first. The assessment happens first when they come into your office.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know,
talk a little bit about that. What's an assessment like?
So, you know, to speak of, AMPT is really an acronym of the entire developmental process that we take our athletes through. A is going to be that assessment piece. So when we go through an assessment, what I want to find is through just particular movements and, we have about a 30-point assessment that we do. And it, to tell you the truth, for the listeners, it doesn't hurt. You know, it's just taking you through movements. But what happens is it starts to tell the story of how the body is moving. If lights come on in our car, we're just not going to avoid it. we're going to go take the car to the, you know, to the mechanic.
Sure, we're scared to death once that light comes on.
No doubt. However, we got to figure it out. We got, you know, we're not just going to continue to drive it. And so our body is the same thing. You know, pains, soreness, things like that are little signals. So we need to go get the assessment. The assessment really is a process for the strength coaches to understand, all right, here's where we're at right here, right now. And it acts as a real kind of quantifiable, you use a big word, to always go back to and chart our progress. Mm-hmm. But it also is our blueprint to design a very individualized program design.
Very individualized.
So what happens is I'm not going to cross my fingers and go, hey, this worked for this tour guy. I'm going to use it for this recreational guy, or it worked for this lady, and I'm going to try. No, none of that happens. Every individual has a unique set of issues that we need to deal with. So we need to find out what those issues are. So that's the assessment process. And to me, that's the most pivotal piece that's missing really in a lot of the fitness industry. I mean, for our listeners, if you're going to start any kind of fitness regimen, without an assessment, you're just kind of guessing. You're spinning your wheels. What am I working on? Why do I need to work on it? And so that's a big piece of the puzzle, is the assessment process.
And what's your if I read you correctly, oftentimes, at least what I see from the average golfer is the need for more range of motion, more flexibility. And then also, you know, some strength involved in there too. It's a combination.
Yeah. And now, you know, now you're talking to the M, the move process in the AMPT. And so what we do is what we call a progressive approach, or a stair-stepping model, where everything builds upon one another. So, yeah, it might be, you know, when we find out through the assessment that we need to work on somebody's mobility, or what that means is really your range of motion. Do I need better range of motion in my joints? We might find out that it might be a stability issue. You know, how well is my joint holding a position while this dynamic movement is going on?
You see that a lot with the kids.
See a lot with the kids. And to tell you the truth, to be surprised, we see, you know, across the board we do see it. For the simple fact that, you know, we're in a society that sits and, you know, kind of goes into the office and doesn't, it's not real active, if you will. And so, yeah, so we're going to get those tight muscles, but we're also not challenging the brain muscle connection like we used to when we're really, really active. So the stability in the joints are an issue that we see across the board as well, especially with the juniors, because they're just really trying to figure out where they're at in space and time.
Okay. So we talk about stability just for a second. Back when you and I were growing up and we were on the grammar school playgrounds and we were doing all sorts of different things, playing all sorts of different sports, and certainly not specializing in anything. It was just, you know, what time of the year is it? What time of the day is it? What sport are we going to go play? And little did we know that we were testing all the different components of our body.
Absolutely.
Which was helping to make more of a streamlined, more physically fit with all the different components, the muscles, the coordination, the balance. And now in 2013, you have golfers or tennis players or gymnasts or baseball or basketball specializing very, very early on,
very early.
Lacrosse.
Yeah.
And so from my understanding, what sometimes we see, at least I see it in the golf side, is kids that are only playing golf and that's it, they're coordinating a certain set of muscles, but not all the muscles in their body.
Right. You know, and you take a look at golf. Golf is really not a natural movement. It's a one-sided sport all the time, and you're always going to go to that one side. So when in the past, when we had a lot of athletes that played a lot of different sports, you know, it alludes back to a quote I said before, it's easier to make an athlete a golfer than a golfer an athlete. For the simple fact is they have all the skill sets. If they've played a lot of sports in the past, a lot of the skill sets, soccer challenges, multidirectional, you know, basketball and baseball, the hand-eye coordination. You take a look at that and, you know, you play a lot of sports, or heck, just play on the playground. But, you know, when they don't own those certain skill sets growing up and they become very early specialized without appropriate programs that continue to challenge them to become an athlete, then we're in a world of trouble if they're just playing one sport. But that's why we get dressed up every day. Is, you know, early specialization, unfortunately, right now it has to happen. And we're kind of understanding that. But, you know, programs that like we set up for juniors is to continue the developmental process mm-hmm. for that junior mm-hmm. athlete and to develop them into that dynamic golf athlete. And really, that's across the board. Every one of us are athletes. I don't care if you're 6 years old or 96 years old. I want to pull out the inner athlete with you first. And those are really kind of just owning certain skills, movements in order to become a better golfer.
Okay, so here's one of the stumbling blocks or one of the excuses that you hear all the time. I guess I've used this excuse a few times in my life as well. I don't have enough time.
Right.
I don't have enough time. It's, you know, I don't make it enough of a priority. How often do people need to utilize? Obviously, it'd be great if you could do something every day. But, you know, what would you say is just, you know, to get someone started, getting them into it, to get it to be part of their life.
Right.
How do you get them to do that?
Well, first and foremost, adopt the SUDS principle. Just shut up and do something.
There you go.
No. To tell you the truth, it starts with simple process. You know, when we go through the assessment, we find out that there's tight, weak areas. So we set everybody up on what we'll call a corrective program. Now, it sounds really boring, and it sounds, like it would just bore everyone to death. However, it's very crucial. And so understanding everyone's schedules, if you simply did what we call soft tissue work or warming up or, you know, doing some kind of stretching model, but on top of that, doing some small what we call activations or just simple things that kind of get muscles triggering, it really only takes about 10 minutes. If you can't take 10 minutes out of your day to work on the machine to become a better golfer, there's a problem. We need to reprioritize. Mm-hmm. Or you must really enjoy hurting, to tell you the truth.
That's a good point.
And so if you really have come to the point where you're tired of hurting or you're tired of feeling like a slug at the end of the 18, there's probably something that you need to do. So chiseling out 10-15 minutes a day is pretty important. Now, what that does, it becomes habit. And all of a sudden down the road, you know, now I am adopting a full-blown regimen throughout the week where maybe one day I'm working my mobility, another day I'm working on my cardio, another day I'm working on my strength side. Mm-hmm. But the small incremental process, it just builds into a habit. And then all of a sudden you've got a really strong routine, pre-warm-up, pre-round, whatever. You also have a good recovery strategy. You know, a lot of pieces in the fitness model, fitness industry that we lack is how do I recover? And so we teach people how to recover from activity as well.
So let's fast forward and talk a little bit about the tour pros that you work with. Obviously, they're spending more than 10 minutes a day doing what they do. And if you're a tour player and you are not doing some type of fitness, hopefully a very structured fitness component, you are missing a vital part of what's necessary to being a top player on one of the tours. So the guys that you work with, the girls that you work with, you're kind of multidimensional because some are coming to you because they're injured. Mm-hmm. Some are coming to you because they're not strong enough, they're not hitting it far enough. Some are coming to you that they don't have enough stamina and they've got to be able to sustain that. They're trying to avoid injury. You're doing some type of assessment with them as well, and then you branch out from what I just described, I think.
No, absolutely. Everyone, you know, every one of these guys that keep that have certain needs, if you will. You know, let's say if it's an injury or if it's first and foremost, if it's an injury, we usually like to bump them over to the sports med side with Troy and those guys, and then we'll do the post rehabilitation. But you know, everyone that comes in from the tour side, they're seeking different needs. Maybe case in point, we had two guys in particular on tour that needed to increase their swing speed by about 5 to 6 miles per hour. Which
wow,
as you
that's
know,
a lot. I mean, that's 15-18 yards.
Yes. And it makes a big difference. Well, at the tour level, that also makes a big difference in the
sure.
paycheck as well.
Sure.
It skims a club down. So, you know, you take different programs designed. That's why everything is based off of the assessment model. One in particular that I needed to work on increasing that swing speed. I couldn't do it for the simple fact that I had to have a foundation set before we even thought about working on speed mm-hmm. development. Now, it's kind of like I can't put a Porsche engine in a Yugo frame. I need to work on that framework, get it to Porsche level, and then I can put the Porsche engine in. That's a problem with a lot of the listeners too. Is they go, okay, I know I need to get healthy, I know I need to get some stretching in or whatever, but they go full board and then all of a sudden get injured.
Right.
But whatever.
Put the cart before the horse, exactly. Or the horse before the cart.
So, yeah. But that's why I get dressed up every day for these tour guys, is to build these strong strategies for them. They're also probably one of the more difficult athletes to program design for. It's not like I have a couple major league baseball player that I work with. It's pretty easy to design programs for him. There's a very distinct season that he has. There's a very distinct off season. There's a very distinct mm-hmm. preseason. With these golfers now with the schedule, it's so short of an off season, and I'm trying to really get a lot in the off season. Whereas I usually with other athletes would have, 4 or 5 months to work with them. Now it's maybe a month and a half, maybe 2 months. And so I'm trying to get a lot in the off season. Preseason is pretty non-existent. But mm-hmm. during the season, because they are playing such a long season, we're holding on for dear life, trying to get these guys to stay as mobile and stay as stable as possible throughout the entire year. And so that's why, these guys work with us, is we build those strategies through the entire year. Okay, every single day, what am I going to do, Damon? How do I go about my warm-up? How do I go about my recovery? How do I go about doing my strength program throughout the week? Because they are so busy playing, they have to incorporate it.
Sure,
You'll take a look today. I challenge everybody to go watch the PGA today. Take a look at the shape of the game right now.
Look at those guys. Yeah,
fit, athletic. Yeah. There's going to be a big shift in the culture of the game, and that's why I get excited, because I can literally play a role in changing the shape of the game. Mm-hmm. And really, from a viewer's standpoint, they go, "Wow, these guys are athletes."
Great stuff, Damon. Always enjoy listening to how golf and fitness match up and mirror each other, and how it can help both areas. Up next, we had a national junior girls championship in the Dallas Metroplex. It's just this past week, and we're going to talk to the director of golf at the club that hosted the event on the Golfer's Home with Stephen Gribben, AM 1190.
Hi, I'm Jim LeCamp.
And I'm Pat Riddell,
co-host of Money Sense at the Opening Bell.
Are you fed up with the endless, relentless arguments about bull market, bear market, trading range market, deflation, hyperinflation, and all the other chatter that leaves you on the sidelines, earning nothing, nada, zip?
Well, we have good news for you. There are opportunities in a highly uncertain environment like this if you know where to look. Let us help you. We'll show you how non-traditional investments can help you uncover uncommon returns.
Give us a call, 800-841-5388,
or log on to money-sense.com.
With all of the choices and customizable settings on the new generation of adjustable clubs, you need an experienced partner to help dial them in just for you. For over 45 years, Golfsmith has been dedicated to helping golfers find the right gear and their best game, all for the guaranteed lowest prices. Don't let your old equipment hold you back. Come in today and get 50% more for your trade-in toward the latest adjustable gear. Only at Golfsmith.
Hello, this is Dane Miner, General Manager of Freeman Toyota. I want to take just a moment and put things in perspective for you. Do you make $10 an hour? Did you realize at that rate that Freeman Toyota could put you behind the wheel of a brand new Corolla for just 30 minutes worth of work a day? Seriously, for a half hour work, you could be driving the fuel-efficient Corolla at $5 a day. Or Freeman Toyota could help you drive away in a brand new Camry for just $6 a day. Listen, I know how hard you work. And I know that getting to work in a reliable, fuel-efficient car is critical for you. So we're making it more affordable than ever to drive a brand new Freeman Toyota. And when you take into account that you get 2 years worth of free maintenance with every new Toyota we offer, to see how you can drive a Corolla for $5 a day or a Camry for $6 a day, log on to FreemanToyota.com right now and click on specials. or call us at 1-800-NEW-CARS, or come by and see us at 183 and 820 on the affordable side of the Metroplex.
Every day, millions of Americans are putting themselves at risk just by writing a check, using a credit card, or an ATM. We're talking identity theft. And that's why the National Foundation for Credit Counseling has compiled a list of tips to help reduce the risk of having your personal information stolen. Never give out personal or account information when responding to a phone or email inquiry unless you initiated the transaction. Open your credit card and other bills promptly and reconcile your receipts and accounts. Just because your credit card is in your wallet, it doesn't mean you're not at risk. Skimming or stealing credit and debit card numbers is a huge part of identity theft. If you've been a victim or think your personal information has been compromised, you need to act immediately. The identity theft recovery process can be long and daunting, but you don't have to do it alone. Contact a certified counselor at the National Foundation for Credit Counseling at 1-800-388-2227, who can guide you every step of the way. This has been a public service message from the NFCC.
Hi, this is Bernadette, owner of Adrift Float Spa. Did you know that stress is one of the major contributors of high healthcare costs? As Arianna Huffington reported in a recent CNBC interview, stress is prevalent in corporate America and affects negatively our productivity as a nation. Corporate America needs to be paying attention to stress reduction. Floating or flotation therapy is learning and experiencing what it feels like to truly relax. What are the benefits of floating? Decreased stress, nervousness, and anxiety. Decreased muscular aches and pains. Improved concentration, memory, and mental focus. Increased energy and performance. Enhanced quality of sleep. And a general overall sense of well-being. De-stress your employees. Call Adrift about our corporate packages at 214-363-5628. That's 214-363-5628. Or visit us at AdriftFloatSpa.com.
Welcome back to the Golfer's Home with Stephen Gribben. I'm Tim Cusick. Damon Goddard in studio. Good show talking about golf and fitness and how it matches up and how it translates to the tour players and how it translates to the everyday golfer as well as the juniors that are starting to play the game. Damon, there was one question I was going to ask you before we went to break. Is that so realistically, age-wise, for junior golfers, when do they start to need to see you?
You know, that's kind of
a loaded question, but
you know, I generally prefer to see in my office. I prefer to see juniors roughly around, if they really need to get in or want to get in, around junior high level. Okay. The simple fact is, you know, and we have parents that, you know, 8 years old and 10 years old. Oh, we got to get them into the program. Maybe I'm a little old school. We kind of talked about it earlier. These kids just need to be kids for a while.
Right.
They need to own the golf swing. Now, are there strong junior pro, you know, windows of time where I can instill speed or I can instill? Yes, there are. However, let the kids be kids and let them pick up the game. Now, if you really want to choose early specialization, then yeah, you probably need to get into some of the junior development programs that we do. But I tell you the truth, I just don't want to see a kid on my you know, training floor until about junior high. You know, that's when to me it's really important to capture you know, where they're at in space and time.
Great message right there. Parents, if you're listening, great message. Whether your child's playing basketball, baseball, football, golf, tennis, whatever it is, let them be kids. Let them grow up being kids. Let them have fun with whatever sport that they're participating in. That's an excellent message. And that kind of segues right into what we're going to talk about next. This past Monday and Tuesday, and it's been going on for about 15 years, there is a really, really good junior girls championship that goes on over at Mira Vista Country Club in Fort Worth, Texas. And specifically, it's the Kathy Whitworth Invitational. Kathy Whitworth has, you know, obviously a legend in the game, has won more tour events than any player, men or lady, that's ever lived. 88 times on the LPGA Tour, and she's still out there when the tournament goes on, shaking hands and talking and watching. And joining us on the phone for a few minutes is the director of golf at Mira Vista Country Club, Courtney Connell. Morning, Courtney.
Good morning, gentlemen, and good to be with you.
Always good to have you joining us at the Golfer's Home. Courtney, so I was over there last Monday for the first round, had a student in town from Indiana, Kelly Grassel, that participated in the event. And yep. I'll tell you what, it was a cold morning starting out that first round. And the greens were firm. The golf course looked fantastic. And they shot some fantastic scores the first round.
You know, they really did. They really forged ahead. The conditions were very challenging. Our junior am on Sunday was very windy. And then Monday brought us some strong winds and very low temperatures. But the young champions really battled quite well, was very impressed, not only with their game, but it was like mentally they were prepared. I did not hear any significant excuses, complaining, whining. I saw them suit up, tee up, and was very impressed with their demeanor and the results that they produced.
I'll tell you what, suit up is the right word. I was suited up. I had three layers. I had the rain gear on. I had the ski hat, and I had the muffler up over my my nose. You couldn't recognize anyone out there. I felt like a race car driver.
It was pretty chilly, and fortunately it changed on Tuesday, but it did bring us a unique blend of weather for the competition.
I'll tell you what, with that weather, the first round leader was Samantha Wagner, who's from Florida, and I believe is going to the University of Florida. And she shot 68 the first round, which fantastic score. And in second place was Hannah Wood, who's out of Colorado. So it probably felt like a good spring day for her. And then you went into the second round on Tuesday. The weather got a little bit better. The wind came from a different direction. So the course plays entirely different the second round. You played in a north wind the first day. You played in a south wind or a southerly wind the second day. And Hannah Wood shot 74. Samantha Wagner kind of ballooned a little bit up to 77. And so Hannah Wood came away the victor with a one-shot victory. Exciting finish there, Courtney?
Very much so. Samantha Wagner was in contention last year. And then she found herself, of course, in contention again leading for this year, and Samantha hit a superb tee shot on the 36th hole. She went down the right side of the 18th fairway, one of Weisskopf Borsch's signatures where you do a risk-reward opportunity, and her shot just kind of used a little bit too much on the left side of the fairway, had just a little bit of a interference with possibly a tree limb. So she elected to wedge out of that, and then she had a very nice approach and just hit an unbelievable great putt. I thought she made it probably about an 18-footer for par and just left it hanging on the lip. Hannah Wood went very quietly through her round both days, and it was very exciting, a lot of drama. And, you know, significant to Hannah, this was her first Kathy Whitworth Invitational, was her first competition of the year coming out of Denver. As you know, I mean, the girls come from all over the world, and a lot of our girls from the north coming out of bitter cold conditions. Mm-hmm. This is early for them. She was stunned. She was stunned and humbled that she was able to get a one-shot lead and the title.
This tournament, the Kathy Whitworth Invitational, in its 15th year in 2013, has sprung out onto the national scene and turned into a very national event, one of the first of the year each year. Some great names on the past champions list, Paula Creamer and Christina Kim, two of which both play on the LPGA Tour. This tournament has really, really taken on a life of its own, and I know its namesake, Kathy Whitworth, plays a huge part. How much dealing do you do with Kathy leading up to the tournament, Courtney?
Quite a bit. We have really good communication with Kathy, and she is an integral part of the selection committee. And it's fascinating to listen to her wisdom and her balance as we go through the applications and letters. And we had over 200 applicants lobbying for an invitation for 72 spots.
Awesome.
And, Tim, I must say, it was truly, I'm not exaggerating when I tell you, it was incredibly painful to try to squeeze that much talent into a 72-player field. It was unbelievable, the pedigree, the resumes, their presentations. And I think you and I spoke a few months back. Kudos to you for really creating a very good template that your students have submitted, and your students have been past champions. And it's just a really neat process. But to your question specifically, Kathy is very hands-on, very humble. She listens. She listens to us go around the table with our various points, and she just gives us a great balance and great wisdom. And she even called me one day going to work after some of the selection process had made some progress, and we bounced each ideas off each other. The neat thing about her, so many neat things about her, Tim, and to the listeners, you can just have a candid conversation with her. It's just a great. She's just a great communicator and a great listener.
It's really interesting to hear how hands-on a legend like Kathy Whitworth is. And just a little bit ago, we had John Drago, the executive director of the H.P. Byron Nelson Championship, on. And mm-hmm. he spoke about when they select the exemptions for the tournament each year, that when Byron Nelson was still alive, that he used to go out to his ranch mm-hmm. one night and sit down with all the applicants. And Byron played a very, very hands-on role in the selection process of who was going to play in his tournament. And it sounds like Kathy has the exact same, thumb on the pulse of this junior invitational.
They bring 360. They bring 360 degrees on their perspective. And they bring compassion. They're understanding that this is an opportunity for a break. They're also respectful to the talent in the field. And they're very careful about how that field is rounded up. And, I think one of the keys is not only obviously their history and their experience that they bring to the game, and, of course, Mr. Delson brought to the game, but they're still very intimate with all the things that are going on in the world of golf, whether it be, professional golf or amateur golf. And Kathy is going to be heading up the Junior Solheim Cup. And she always spends time out there during the competition, but I would dare say she spent a little extra time really scrutinizing those players. It was interesting to hear her comments after the players left the first tee, and her comments, her positive comments relative to what she witnessed as far as their swing skills go. And I want to say this real quick, Tim. When we do the Sunday night dinner after the Junior Am, it's always healthy for me to periodically hit the pause button and really reflect. And I don't think I'm exaggerating or overstating it. That's pretty cool to be in the room having dinner with an individual that is an integral part of golf history. It's amazing.
Without a doubt. Now, I want to ask you two things. First, I know that with the Kathy Whitworth Invitational, it benefits the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Fort Worth. How does that happen? What's the tie there?
The primary revenue driver relative to netting about $14,000 to $15,000 every year that goes straight to the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Fort Worth is the Junior Am on Sunday and our generous sponsors. And the sponsors have been loyal. We've added some new sponsors. They play the Junior Am on Sunday. We take two sponsors, we pair them with two junior girls, and we have a fun modified scramble format. And they're very generous with their participation. I'm intimate with charities in Fort Worth. I've seen the results the dollars have produced. It is very important. In fact, the Thursday prior to our invitational, we have a clinic at Mira Vista. Kathy, again, is there, hands-on, giving instruction, talking to the young adults.
Awesome.
And it's encouraging to see, fruits of the labor. It's really good stuff. And so those sponsors are very key to us on Sunday in the Junior Am.
Okay, second is Mira Vista Country Club has really, at least from my standpoint, positioned itself with junior golf in hosting. They've hosted the U.S. Girls championship there in the past. They've played host to the Kathy Whitworth Invitational. Is this part of a mission statement that Mira Vista really wants to engulf?
Very much so, Tim. And let me just say there's two huge kudos that go to Lindy Miller, who was there for 22-plus years, who really was, you know, the architect and influence that put this in Mira Vista's DNA. And I'll tell you, equally valuable is the attitude of our membership. The Mira Vista Country Club members, they volunteer, they're on committees, they run shuttles, they help us spot, not just at the Kathy Whitworth, but when we do the Fort Worth City Amateur and we do North Texas PGA events or we host qualifiers. I am very blessed to inherit, and I'm trying to be a good steward of what the people who went before me at Mira Vista and our existing membership and our leaders on our board and committee, and I'm not just whistling Dixie. What I'm telling you is the truth. It is an incredible blessing that they get it, and it is fun to be a part of it. It's fun to be right in the middle of it, but that foundation was laid a long time ago, and my responsibility is to protect it.
So the 2013 event is in the books. Hannah Wood, the victor. And when do you get start working on next year's event?
We'll start this summer looking at different things we may want to tweak and polish. We'll start meeting in the fall as we start receiving, you know, applicants, and really start rolling up our sleeves in October and November, lay down some groundwork. And then after January, we hit the ground running with finalizing the field and working on the sponsors and the junior ram and that sort of thing. Another interesting thing that's happened this year, Tim, is on three different occasions, I have had golf professionals from different parts of the United States call and do practice rounds for girls who are not even eligible yet, who are not even applying yet, but want to come play Mira Vista, see what it's like as they start preparing for submitting their resume in a year or two from now.
That's cool.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, that's very cool. He's Courtney Canal. He is one of the best in the business in the Dallas Metroplex, the director of golf at Mira Vista Country Club. Courtney, it was a pleasure to see you last week over at the event. You run a great show, and it's a great tournament, and I look forward to crossing paths with you in the near future.
Tim, I appreciate it. I appreciate you, gentlemen. I appreciate what you're doing to promote the game of golf. Keep up the great work. I'll see you soon.
Thank you, sir. Have
Bye-bye.
A good day. I'll tell you what, Damon. You know, I go over and watch that event. This is the third year in a row I've gone over to watch. There's a girl that I had mentioned that comes from Indiana, Chesterton, Indiana, that I teach. Her name is Kelly Grassel, and she's going to play at Michigan State next fall. Signed there last fall. And so I go over and I watch her one of the days of the tournament. And to see the quality of the play, and as we've been talking for the last 2 hours, these girls are fit.
No,
I mean,
they're
looking like tennis players.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you take a look at these tournaments now, and these girls are prepared. Their swings aren't, I'll steal a word from you earlier, syrupy. They're looking strong. These girls are really shaping up now to really change their culture within their game as well and taking their talents into the college ranks.
There's a girl that I watched play just a little bit and visited with the high school coach in the area I live in, Allen, Maddie Zurich, who is really, really a good talent. And this girl is going to be a fantastic college player, had a very good junior and amateur season last year. I think she finished, she made it to the semifinals of the Pub Links as a sophomore or junior in high school. She's a really, really good player.
Yeah, and I've had the pleasure to work with her and talk about another athlete, that multidimensional athlete that's now chosen to pick up golf, and she's going to be one to watch.
All right, so in another minute or so, I change hats, the headset comes off, and as I've done twice already this week, I head over to a local golf course. My son Carson, who's 10 years old, has started playing in the NTPGA junior tournaments. And he's got a 10:39 tee time over at the practice tee, and I'm on the bag again.
Nice, nice.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he'll entrust you on that, but I think he's in good hands.
I hope so. I hope he thinks so.
Yeah.
We got a third-place finish, the first tournament he ever played in over at Stewart Peninsula on Wednesday, and then played Thursday at Jim McLean's place out at Water Chase, and had a good time. And so we're going to play nine holes over at the practice tee. And
don't step in bunkers.
No, don't step in bunkers and twist your feet. I'm not going to test the service. I'm going to be a good attitude caddy. And hopefully he enjoys himself. Hopefully you all are going to enjoy yourself if you get a chance to get out and play some golf today and this week. The weather's getting better. The golf courses are getting greener. Damon, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you in studio. Enjoyed it. Always learn when I have a chance to be in your presence. Folks, get out and play some golf. Do some stretching. It's the Golfer's Home, AM 1190.
KFXR Dallas, with all the top news and business stories of the day. It's all on 1190 AM.